Touch with everything interesting and informative in this weekend world through Monitor 67. I'm Brad Crandall. Later this half hour, Joe Garagiola looks at how, when, and why coaches get tough with their athletes. 3 minutes away, prominent British stage and screen director Peter Glenville comments on the personality traits of author Graham Greene and the Burtons, Richard and Elizabeth. And by the way, remember, this Christmas, as every Christmas, every woman alive wants Chanel number 5.
Filter cigarette from Chesterfield. It's 1 millimeter longer than the hundreds.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer? Wait till you taste it. For 101, it's one better.
A silly millimeter longer.
101.
A silly millimeter longer.
This week, one of Broadway's major plays of the season will have its opening. The play is Edward Albee's Everything in the Garden. And the eminent British stage and screen director, Peter Glenville, is directing it. Mr. Glenville comes by his ability partly through family tradition. His parents were well-known British music hall stars, his grandparents were with Dublin's Abbey Theatre, and his own background includes work as an actor, director, and even a playwright at Oxford and later at the Old Vic. His most recent work has been in films, and he gives us an interesting personal appraisal of some of his famous co-workers as he chats with Monitor reporter John Cannon.
Peter, now, you worked on The Comedians with Graham Greene. He wrote the novel, and he also wrote the screen treatment, didn't he?
That's right.
Now, he's kind of a mystery to us in America. He's, we can all say, I'm sure, one of the great men of modern letters. What about the private Graham Greene? Is he a communicative person?
Well, Graham is, I've known him very many years. I did his first play in London about 14 years ago called The Living Room, where Dorothy Tutin became a star overnight. He's a most charming person, a very particular person, very, very English. He's an innately shy, greatly courteous, scholarly English gentleman, but with a passion and a ferocity against anything that smells of oppression, of power politics, of size, of over-richness, of power to the elbow. He's really a born rebel, enormously fastidious man, a scholarly man, a tremendously loyal friend, with a great sense of humor, but shy in company.
About the Burtons, with whom you worked in The Comedians, do they still have that tremendous entourage, the cats and all the luggage and so forth?
Well, they have the cats and the luggage. They also have a human entourage of devoted assistants, and they have... I don't know how many trunks.
It's like the circus coming to town, isn't it?
Well, perhaps it's not any like it, perhaps it is. They have some very attractive luggage. It's all sort of like carpet bags, only covering that sort of material with flowers, like a carpet covering. I would say some 60 or 70 trunks, yes. And I know that Elizabeth has an enormous apparatus of trunks that only hold the various wigs that she's worn during the course of her career.
Is this true, Peter? Some men go out and play tennis for diversion, but it has been our impression in the past that Richard Burton sits down and has a conversation. That's his hobby.
Oh, yes, and he's a marvelous talker, a marvelous raconteur. He's very funny. He imitates people wonderfully. He has a wonderful sense of words. He loves literature, he reads a good deal, and he loves to sit with friends just gassing, and indeed with Elizabeth.
Sounds like your experiences on the picture was sort of a gas.
Well, yes, they were. It was an interesting experience.
Now, for Peter Glenville in the future, what do you have in prospect, and what do you want to do? What's unfulfilled in your many ambitions?
I am planning a new picture now, that's going to be done in the Middle East from a novel by Morris West called The Tower of Babel, which isn't yet published. It's coming out in a month or two. And, of course, next Tuesday I have directed a new play by Edward Albee, which is opening at the Plymouth next week.
Everything in the Garden?
That's right.
Peter, in your play Everything in the Garden, there is... a Monitor alumnus who was with us for a long time, Barry Nelson. How are you two getting along?
Oh, well, I'm delighted you bring up Barry, because I am a tremendous admirer of Barry Nelson's. He is, as you know, playing the lead in Everything in the Garden, and I find that this man has a tremendous talent, and funnily enough, a talent that hasn't been altogether yet exposed, I don't think, to the American public, because he's been so successful that, quite honestly, I feel his talent has been buried under about three huge light comedy successes in which he was brilliant, the shows were marvelous, but a man can almost disappear into successes, and he's had about 6 or 7 years of long runs in light comedies. In the play he's doing now by Edward Albee, he has a chance to show an emotional range and a more serious side to his talent, and which I think will be very interesting to his many admirers. I find him wonderful to work with, adroit, clever, a dedicated actor. I mean, he protects his talent, he trains himself, he diets, he sleeps, he thinks, he does everything in order to train for his performance. And I think that the extra range that this part in the Albee play affords him may well be of great interest to theatre-goers and to people interested in the art of acting.
Would you like to scout Monitor for some more actors?
We'd be delighted.
All right, we wish you every success with that and anything you take up. Continue your successes of the past.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Peter Glenville. We've been talking with a top echelon director from England. Peter Glenville, our guest, is probably best known in the United States outside of New York for his picture work, such as the currently showing Comedians. This is John Cannon for Monitor.
Sports with Joe Garagiola, right after a song by Tony Bennett, which is next on the Monitor Beacon. Once again, you're back with Monitor and Brad Crandall at 18 minutes after the hour. The voice of Tony Bennett next, for once in my life.
For once in my life, I have someone who needs me, someone I've needed so long. For once unafraid, I can go where life leads me, and somehow I know I'll be strong. I can touch what my heart used to dream of. my life I won't let sorrow hurt me. Not like it's hurt me before. Once I have something I know won't desert me. I'm not alone.
Like that puts you on the alert pretty quick. But what do you do when it's quiet and late at night and you're feeling drowsy, even though you are rested? You take a couple of no-dos. You can count on no-dos to help you stay alert. No-dos tablets, non-habit forming. No-dos tablets. The one to take when you have to stay alert.
Next, Monitor Sports with Joe Garagiola, brought to you by State Farm Mutual, the world's largest car insurance company. Here's Joe.
When should a coach become a tough guy? Well, it all depends on the coach, and I'll be back to discuss that after this from State Farm.
Hi, George Carlin here in Teaneck, New Jersey, where a dirty gray car insured by an ordinary insurance company has just piled into a cleaner, whiter, and brighter car insured by State Farm Mutual. Here with me is an average housewife, certainly no better than average. Could I possibly have your name, ma'am?
Well, it would be a tremendous coincidence.
Coincidence?
Yeah, for you to have my name.
No, I mean, could you tell us your name?
Congolia Breckenridge.
That would have been a coincidence. Now, Mrs. Breckenridge, there are two cars out there in the intersection, one insured by an ordinary insurance company, the other insured by State Farm, the company that got to be the world's largest by providing big protection and fast claim service at low rates. Which of the two seems to be getting the fastest claim service?
Oh, I'd say the one insured by State Farm is definitely is cleaner and whiter and getting the fastest claim service. Do I win?
Well, Mrs. Breckenridge, we're going to make it possible for you and your husband to visit an office of State Farm Mutual. What do you think of that?
Did you say I won or lost?
When this year's National Basketball Association season started, the St. Louis Hawks were off to a great start. They won their first seven games, lost one, and then won nine in a row before losing to Detroit. After the Detroit game, Coach Richie Guerin locked the dressing room door and gave the Hawks a 20-minute lecture. You might figure that a team that wins 16 out of 18 shouldn't get a lecture. You might also figure that Richie Guerin is one of those hard-nosed coaches who isn't very popular with his players. Actually, Guerin is very popular with the Hawks, and the coach has to decide when is the right time to get on his team without caring about their record. One of the most important parts of coaching is knowing the mood of a team. What they do in the game is certainly important, but by being sensitive to the way a team feels, a coach can head off trouble before it starts. If a team is beaten because they're outplayed, chances are a coach won't have much to say after a game. But if they're beaten by their own mistakes, well, now that's something else again. Losing, like the flu, can be contagious, and you try to stop an epidemic before it starts. On every club, in every sport, the relationship between the players and the boss is different. I played for managers for whom I had tremendous admiration, and I played for managers I didn't particularly like. Oddly enough, winning was not a factor. Billy Meyer was our manager in Pittsburgh the year we lost 112 games, but I never met a finer man or a better manager. An interesting question in a relationship between a player and his boss is, who's supposed to get along with whom? A lot of managers say that it's important to get to know their players, and they pride themselves on their ability to do it. Bertie Tibbetts, on the other hand, used to say, I've got 25 players. They've only got one manager. It's easier for them to learn to get along with me. Getting back to Richie Guerin, he took over the Hawks after having been a player with that team, which can be both an advantage and a disadvantage. The players knew him. He was one of the boys. And sometimes players don't understand that that's got to stop when a guy becomes a coach. On the other hand, Guerin knew the players and knew their abilities and habits. He knew that if a certain player wasn't getting to play, it was a good idea to explain why to that player. What helped Guerin most was the fact that he benched a player when he went badly, and that included himself. They tell about a time when Guerin was the player coach of the Hawks and things were going badly. And after a game, Richie held a meeting and announced that he was fining everyone on the team $100 for not hustling. And the last line of his speech was, and that goes for me, too. When word got out about Guerin getting on his players after the Detroit game, there was quite a bit of comment. A lot of people said they didn't understand how he could do it. The important thing seems to be that the St. Louis Hawks understood it, which is a pretty good boost for Richie Guerin as a coach. This is Joe Garagiola for Monitor Sports. And now this from VM, the voice of music.
VM, the voice of music, makes stereo console phonographs so elegant they all have the certification tag of the Fine Hardwoods Association. But some people can't remember their name. Well, just tie a string around your finger, and when people ask you, what's that string around your finger for, you can say, I forget.
VM, the voice of music, has everything but fame. You can get a whole lot more for your money if you just remember that name.
An interesting, fresh approach to sports with Joe Garagiola every weekend on Monitor and weekdays on NBC Radio. You're on the go with Monitor, your music and information center.
Running out of interesting things to do? Today, why not take in a good gas station? Pop into Citgo, the little different gas station. Get to know your car a little better. Get some Citgo driving tips. Do a little window shopping, plan a trip, or just relax a few minutes in a gas station that's just a bit nicer. Citgo. You may not want to live there, but it's a nice place to visit.
Monitor, your news and information center, is heard on NBC through the nation every weekend. For instance, serving West Central Illinois is WMAY in Springfield. Station break time now all along the line, after which we'll come right back. This is Brad Crandall.
This is David Brinkley. I'll have a special radio report for you each weekday afternoon here on NBC.
It's Monitor once more, and the time, 15 minutes before the hour. Moving from the background to the foreground, the Peter DeAngelis Singers.
Of your United Community campaigns, families often go to the family agency for help in working out their serious problems, and they get that help. Or depending on the situation, families get help at the Salvation Army or Legal Aid or Traveler's Aid. The Red Cross helps the families of servicemen, and USO boosts morale for the sons of American families. These agencies are included in many United campaigns. Your one gift works many wonders through many community services. Give your fair share. The United Way. Here's a brand new one from pretty Petula Clark at the crossroads.
Here I stand at the crossroads of life. Childhood behind me, the future to come.
sound monitor, Sport of Speed, featuring Chris Economaki with news, views, and results from the world of auto racing. To keep you abreast of one of the world's biggest spectator sports, here's Chris Economaki.
Well, Richard Petty, the 1967 NASCAR Grand National Champion, finally stopped Bobby Allison today at Montgomery, Alabama. The race was the Alabama 200 on the half-mile Montgomery International Speedway, and Petty's Plymouth came home first after a seesaw duel with the home state driver Allison in a Ford. Third place went to Bobby Isaac in a Dodge Charger, and fourth went to Tom Pistone in a Chevelle. Rounding out the top five were Paul Lewis, also in a Chevelle. Other leaders, David Pearson and Leroy Yarborough, both driving Fords, went out of the contest with engine trouble. But the big race today was at Riverside, California, the closing event of the 1967 USAC Championship Trail. And what an unbelievable speed contest it was. Several leaders, a surprise winner, and protest after the checkered flag came down. When it was all over, Dan Gurney, who is the man who is said to own Riverside Raceway, proved it with a tremendous victory in a pushrod engine car of his own design. Bobby Unser was given second place, Mario Andretti third, Lloyd Ruby fourth, in a car driven by Roger McCluskey and later by A.J. Foyt fifth. Bill Vukovich was given sixth place, Johnny Rutherford seventh, George Palmer eighth, Ronnie Bucknam ninth, and sports car driver Jerry Titus tenth. Then the protest started after an amazing race that saw Dan Gurney streak around world champion Jim Clark to take the early lead. And then Gurney ran off the road, and Clark surged in front, only to have his engine fail when he came to the pits out of the race. Then Roger McCluskey moved into the lead. And when A.J. Foyt crashed off the course into Al Miller, McCluskey stopped at the pits for gas and climbed out of the car and allowed Foyt to take it over. Moments later, with a new tire back on the track, a minute and 50 seconds out of the lead, Gurney started a tremendous drive for the front that paid off when he surged into the lead as Mario Andretti, who had assumed the lead at that point, with two laps to go, stopped in the pits for gas. This late race gas stop cost Andretti not only the race, but the championship as well. He finished third behind Gurney and Unser, and the national championship for 1967 went to A.J. Foyt of Houston, Texas, an unprecedented fifth victory for the burly Texan. This is Chris Economaki for Monitor.
Thank you, Chris. Sport of Speed, featuring Chris Economaki, America's foremost authority on auto racing, is presented every Saturday and Sunday, coast to coast, on NBC Monitor. A speedy suggestion? Remember, this Christmas, as every Christmas, every woman alive wants Chanel number 5. That traveling man again, Glenn Campbell.
By the time I get to Phoenix, she'll be rising. She'll find the note I left hanging on her door. She'll laugh when she reads the part that says I'm leaving, 'cause I've left
tried to tell her so. She just didn't know I would really go.
Spell emphysema?
E-M-P-H-Y-S-E-M-A.
Good. Now, can you tell me what it is?
Well, it's a lung disease that nobody heard much about until a few years ago, and...
Wait. Did you ever wonder why you hear so much about emphysema these days? Why more of us are crippled, disabled, killed each year by this disease?
Well, there must be some connection.
There is. Cigarette smoking. It's not just a coincidence. As this habit's popularity has increased, the incidence of emphysema has increased. Cigarette smoke contains billions of tiny particles that make up what's called tobacco tar. Much of this tar remains inside your body when cigarette smoke is inhaled. All too often, the result is emphysema. And the more you smoke, the greater the risk. In fact, your chances of developing emphysema are 5 times greater even if you smoke less than a pack of cigarettes a day. Write the U.S. Public Health Service, Washington, D.C., for your free booklet on emphysema.
Spelled E-M-P-H-Y-S-E-M-A.
And decide for yourself how important it can be for you to stop smoking.
Nero's Piano and Orchestra, Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. In contrast, the news of the nation and the world is lively and constantly changing. Stay on the line for the latest developments covered by NBC Monitor News on the Hour. This is Brad Crandall.
Keep to the latest news now. It's on the air. Keep tuned for Sunday morning at 6:30 a.m. Keep tuned for sports and views now from everywhere. From
this interview is being conducted at the newly opened Dugan Bakery Depot at Dobbs Ferry in Westchester County. I'd like you to meet one of the first Dugan route men to be signed by Dugan's, a division of the Carvel Franchise Systems. What is your name, sir?
Joe Irving.
How long have you been a Dugan route man?
I've only been a route man for 1 week now.
And how do you like it?
I like it because it was similar to work that I did before when I was in a milk route man.
What was the customer's reaction to having the Dugan product delivered to the home once again?
The reaction was very pleasing because the housewife could have it delivered to the home now instead of going to the market.
For information on how you too can own your own Dugan route, call area code 914-GR6-6200 or write Dugan's, in care of Carvel Inn, Tuckahoe Road, Yonkers, New York.
Dial in for dialogue. Call Lee Leonard at Plaza 78866, afternoons at 1, on the conversation station WNBC, New York.